In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is, of course, with great joy that we welcome Deacon Carlos here to, in the first Mass. He's assisting at Corpus Christi Parish, and so, of course, a great joy to have him here at the Mass today. What a joy it is to hear the gospel proclaimed by a new deacon. What a joy indeed. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Bernardine of Siena. And St. Bernardine of Siena, he lived in the last part of the 14th century. His priestly ministry was entirely in the first portion of the 15th century, dying in about the year 1444. Now, St. Bernardine of Siena is most famous for his love of the holy name of Jesus. So I want to say a few words about the holy name, because that's what St. Bernardine would want to be preached on his feast day after all. He would say, oh, don't preach about me, preach about the holy name of Jesus. Also, I know much more about the holy name of Jesus than I do about St. Bernardine of Siena, so that's another motive as well. But a few words about the holy name of our Savior. Much could be said. Of course, what the name means, we know already, I'm sure. The name Jesus means Savior, or God saves. Right? Yeshua is the Hebrew, Yeshua, where the Greek was Jesus, and that's where we get our own Jesus. But also Joshua would be very closely related to the holy name of Jesus. In the Hebrew, they would be spelled almost identically. In fact, you wouldn't be able to distinguish one from the other. So Yeshua, or Jesus, Jesus, right? Jesus is the Latin, Jesus. It means God saves, the Lord saves. He's the Savior of his people. I want then just simply to reflect on this marvelous parallel between the Old Testament figure of Joshua and then, of course, the salvation that is brought to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. For indeed, Moses represents the law. Right? Moses, in his person, is the law. He's sort of the personification of the Old Covenant. In his very person, Moses is the law. Hence, we even read in the prologue to John's Gospel, the first chapter, that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Right? So the law was given through Moses. He sort of personifies the Old Covenant. Now, Moses had led the people through the desert, but as we know, he was not privileged to see them into the promised land. He brought them right up to the edge, but because the people had tested his patience and he had been worn out by the people, he then was not permitted to enter the Holy Land. But he did have the great joy of seeing it from afar before he died, right? He looked over into the land before he died. And so who was it then that led the people from the desert, from the wilderness, across the Jordan into the promised land? It was Joshua, right? It was Joshua, the son of Nun. Joshua, son of Nun. And so there's a marvelous parallel here that is oftentimes stressed by the early fathers of the church, that Joshua, son of Nun, led the people from the wilderness into the promised land, and Yeshua, son of Mary, right? So Joshua, son of Nun, but now Yeshua, Jesus, the son of Mary, leads us from what was old into what was new. Or from this life, from this wilderness, into the promised land of heaven. And so that wonderful parallel between the two. So when we read in the book of Deuteronomy and then also in the book of Joshua, when we read about the Israelites coming to the edge of the land and then finally coming into the land of the promise, we see this marvelous foreshadowing of how Jesus would save us from our sins and would bring us into heaven, give us access to salvation. But then remember what had happened. What had happened 40 years earlier is the people had seen the promised land, but they said, oh, that's too hard. It's too difficult. Let's not go there, right? Let's not go in there. It was Joshua and Caleb alone that said, no, we can do it. We can do it. But the others said, it's too difficult. It's a land of giants. It devours its people. Don't go in there, right? And so the people rebelled and they turned back. And so for 40 years they wandered before they finally were able to enter. Well, likewise with the life of devotion, I suppose, right? Likewise with the life of devotion. We come to the edge and we're led by Jesus and he wants to bring us from this wilderness, from all the vanities of this life, into the true joy, a land flowing in milk and honey, a truly blessed life, paradise, both on earth in our soul and finally realized fully in heaven. And yet the world, many people cry out, no, it's too difficult. Right? There's giants there. You can't do that. You'll never be able to. The rosary every day, no one has time for that. You know, it'll devour you. The rosary, it'll devour you or something. Or adoration or daily mass. Acts of mercy, right? You know, sacrificing for the poor and the needy. No, it's too hard. You'll never be able to do it. It's a land that devours itself. But even as Joshua, son of Nun, was fearless then and then finally was privileged to lead the people into the land, so too Jesus, our Savior, leads us, goes ahead of us. And he leads us into this life of devotion, to this land of promise. And he says, it will be difficult. Of course it will be hard. Of course the life of devotion requires sacrifice. But in the midst of this life of sacrifice, as we strive to enter into the promised land of paradise, the Lord gives us his own name as something sweet. Right? That's the honey, and that's the milk. Right? His own name should be sweet to us on our lips and in our hearts. The name of Jesus. In the midst of this life of woe and as we struggle along in this wilderness, his name brings us sweetness. For of all the names he could have chosen, right, of all the names he could have commanded Gabriel to give to the Blessed Virgin and also to Saint Joseph, the Lord chose the name Jesus, Savior. I'm your Savior, he says. Right? His name is sweet. It tells us all that we need to know about him, who he is, and why he came. And then finally, just the last word to say is the IHS, right? The symbol IHS, because this was something that St. Bernardino of Siena promoted, right? That IHS, you'll see it in lots of churches. Sometimes you'll see it on vestments. These vestments today don't happen to have it, but many vestments you'll see will have the IHS, or sometimes on the front of an altar cloth, you'll see the IHS. Well, what is that, IHS? Sometimes it's in very fancy calligraphy and so forth. What does it mean, right? People have all sorts of theories of what it could mean in hoc signum, right? Like you will conquer in this sign, the sign of the cross. Fine and good, right? But really, what it really comes from is the holy name of Jesus. It's the first three letters of Jesus' name, IHS. And in Greek, that's the first three letters. Jesus, right? So it's like J-E-S. H in Greek is actually an E. It's pronounced like an E-A-D-A, is what it is. Anyway, so it's the holy name. It's the holy name of our Savior. So when we see those three letters, our hearts should burn with love and with devotion. For we see Savior, the Savior. There he is. Here he comes to us. And so indeed, he is the Savior of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.